All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn together to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. We've been looking at these heroes of the faith, and we overlooked one in verse 4. We're going to come back and get him today. Let's begin. We'll begin by reading the first verse, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Let's bow our heads, and we're glad to have Brother Tom with us today. I'm going to ask Brother Tom Driscoll, would you lead us in prayer?
Lord, we acknowledge that all Scripture is inspired by you and is profitable for instruction, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Help us to have ears to hear this morning and a desire to apply what we hear in a meaningful way in our lives this week.
We're going to look at these two men today in the Scriptures, and I believe these verses are ever so relevant to us and speak to our hearts. But let's again go look at verse 4, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. And if we just stop right there, what we're going to realize is this, is that Abel's sacrifice was given to God by faith. And faith will always bring the right sacrifice. When you come to the Lord in faith, it will always come with the right sacrifice. We are called to worship God, but if we're going to worship God and we're going to serve the Lord, we can only serve God on His terms. He sets the rules and He sets the terms. And if we're going to worship Him and follow Him and serve Him, we must do it by His terms. We are not allowed to worship God any which old way we choose or which anything we see fit. We're not allowed to worship God in any way that's the most convenient for us or what's easiest for us. But all worship and all service must be done according to God's Word, done the way that He has prescribed. Now, you can do it your own way, and you can do it however you'd like to do it, but the Bible says this, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof is the ways of death. And that's Proverbs 14:12. Let me read to you Proverbs 16:25. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. The verse is repeated to us twice in the Scriptures. The Bible's making it clear that there's a way you can go that seems right and looks right, but it's going to end up in hell. It's end up with death and destruction. The way that seems right isn't the right way. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And there you have the right way to worship God, is all true worship is going to go through Jesus Christ. If you worship God which way you see fit, and you try to offer up your own type of worship to God, you're offering up to the Lord defilement and waste and trash, and it will be rejected. He will not accept any type of worship. We must worship God His way, because His way is the only way. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 for a moment. And let's go back here and let's look at what happened here with the Cain and Abel. We're going to go just a little past them to their mom and dad. Genesis chapter 3. And let's look at verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So there you have the moment of sin. Now notice what happened. What's the first thing that happened in verse 7? And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. So, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded that thou shouldest not eat? And this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible of a man that takes responsibility for his wrongdoing. And he says, the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Whose fault was it, Adam? It was really her fault. It wasn't really Adam's fault. But what you notice here is that Adam and Eve, when they ate of that tree and they sinned, the first thing the Bible says, their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked. Something was different now. They weren't innocent anymore, and they were naked, and they were ashamed, and they were embarrassed. So the very first thing they tried to do is they tried to cover up their sin. That's exactly why they wanted aprons. They wanted to cover up their sin, their transgression, and hide what they had done. So they made these aprons of fig leaves, and they tried to cover up themselves, okay? But guilt and shame can never be covered up by some man-made work. There's nothing a man can do that's going to hide shame and cover up guilt. Men can do things that will temporarily get your mind off of it. But as far as dealing with guilt and shame, there's only one thing that can fix that, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. But here, they're trying to cover up their sin. And their problem isn't that they're naked. Their problem is that they're sinners now. So, and notice what happened. Once they realized they was naked, what did they do when God came in verse 8? Here you have Jesus coming to the garden, walking in the cool of the day, coming to fellowship with Adam and Eve. And where are they at? They're hiding. You see what sin does to you? Sin will always make you hide from the presence of God. Where people used to come to church and fellowship with God, when you get sin in your life, you're not going to want to come to church anymore. It's going to make you want to hide from God. And that's what happened here. So they're hiding. And of course, they made these fig leaves aprons, but it wasn't enough. So notice what God did in verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Adam and Eve's covering wasn't sufficient. It wasn't good enough. And so God did something else. And what happened here is He gave them coats of skins. And how did the Lord make coats of skins? Well, there were some animals that died. Here you have the first picture of the innocent dying for the guilty. And these animals gave their lives and they shed their blood so that Adam and Eve could be clothed. So more than just being clothed physically, they were covered spiritually. The blood covered their sin. Didn't wash it away, but it covered their sin. So now the guilt and shame has been dealt with. So that's what you see here. It took a sacrifice to do this. So now we realize this, that we get now to Genesis chapter 4. We're going to notice that we come to another sacrifice. Genesis chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 3. Well, we'll just start here in verse 1. Adam knew his wife, knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Two brothers, same parents, same upbringing. One of them decided to be a shepherd. One of them decided to be a farmer. Both very noble jobs. No shame in either one of their works. Verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground of an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings and of his flock and of the fat thereof. So you have two brothers bringing a sacrifice. Now here's what we know. The Bible doesn't tell us directly, but we have to know this, that there was an appointed place for a sacrifice. There was a place to come to that was set aside to worship God and to bring a sacrifice. And these two brothers came to this place. There was a time appointed in the process of time. They came at that time. They came to the right place. They both brought a sacrifice to the Lord. And I believe that they were both told what to bring. And I think they were both told to bring exactly what their mom and dads did. They sacrificed an animal. I think they were both told to do that. That is where faith comes from. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. God gave his word, they both heard it, and one believed, of course, and we're going to see where one didn't. But that's what Abel did. He heard what God said, and he believed God did exactly what God told him to do. That's what faith does. It does exactly what God says. It believes God. Okay, so we get to verse 4, and the Bible says that Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. I want you to notice the double here. There's a double. Abel had a double blessing. God, notice his respect. God respected Abel, and he respected the offering. Verse 5, you see, God did not respect Cain, and he did not respect the offering. There's a double curse there that was given. So let's talk about what Cain did. Cain brought, the Bible says, of the fruit of the ground. So let's talk about what Cain did. Cain is a farmer. He has farmed, he has planted seeds, he has sowed the ground, he has tilled the ground, he has worked the ground, he has pulled up the weeds, he has watered it, he has cared for it, he's taken care of the bugs, got the briars out of it. He has put back breaking labor into this sacrifice. It was a hard work, it was a tough work. And I'm sure when he brought it, it was beautiful to look at. All these beautiful fruits and vegetables that he had brought to give to the Lord, an example of all of his hard work that he had given. However, it's not what God required. Let me tell you who Cain is. Cain is the father of every false religion there is. Cain is the father of everyone that tries to approach God their own way. That tries to serve God their own way. That doesn't want to go by what the Bible says, but they want to worship and do things an entirely different way. That's exactly who Cain is. He invented his own way to worship God, not a way that God had prescribed. He wanted to bring his hard work. Now, his sacrifice was beautiful to the eyes, and it was hard work. And I'm sure Abel's probably wasn't very pretty. Here you had a dead animal, a lot of blood. It probably wasn't much to look at. But God required an animal sacrifice. He did not want fruit of the ground, and that's what Cain brought. He brought a false religion. So many people today go the way of Cain, and they try to please God by their own hard work, by trying to earn their way to heaven, by being good, by doing this for people, or giving their money. They're trying to please God for all this hard work that they're doing, but they're not coming to the Lord by faith. You have to come to God by faith. Let's just, real quick, look in the New Testament. What does the New Testament say about Cain? Look at Jude, verse 3. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Here you have people that have crept into the church, and they're no longer following God's word. They're doing their own service, their own kind of thing. They've changed God's grace into lasciviousness. Well, you go on down here to verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam, and the reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. This is simply telling you that Cain had his own religion. He did his own thing. He's running a different way than what God prescribed. It's a false religion trying to earn favor with God. Hebrews chapter 9:22 says, "For without remission, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There has to be the shedding of blood." And here you have Cain trying to get to God as people do today without being born again. My question is, have you been born again? Now, it doesn't matter how hard you work or how good you may think you are. But if you try to come to the Lord Jesus Christ or try to get to heaven other than through Jesus Christ, you are offering the same thing that Cain offered up, and that is hard work. And it will always be rejected. Now let's look at Abel's faith. What did Abel bring to God? Why was his so different? Well, he brought a lamb. He was a keeper of the sheep. He brought a lamb. And he came and he offered the exact offering that God required of him. And by the way, how did he offer this? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4 tells us, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice." Abel brought his sacrifice and he brought it to the Lord by faith. He knew what God required. He believed God meant what he said. And he did exactly what God said by faith. He brought this animal and had it sacrificed for the Lord. Now let me tell you something, church. The only way that we're going to get to heaven, the only hope you and I have of ever getting into glory, is through Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed for us. It's only through His blood are we going to find our way to heaven. There's just simply no other way. Jesus said you must be born again. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said this, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." The only thing that takes away the sin of the world is the Lamb of God. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." What cleanses us and makes us right with God? It's the blood of Jesus. It washes us and makes us clean. Ephesians 1:7 says this, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Forgiveness of sin, it all comes by putting your faith in Christ. One of my favorite verses, I've got a lot of favorite verses, but I love Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Listen to what it says in Revelation 1:5. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the Prince of kings and of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." You know, if you're saved today, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's like the old song goes, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." That is the key. That's what it is. What this world needs more than anything else. I tell you, we don't need a good economy. We don't need to have the best president. What we need is have our sins forgiven. That's what this country needs. That's what every person in this church house desperately needs, is to have your sins forgiven before God, that you've been made clean through the blood. How does one do that? How do you become washed in the blood? Well, you have to do it through faith. There's simply no other way. Romans chapter 10 tells us how we do this, how you get washed in the blood. Romans chapter 10 verse 8. Listen to what God's word says here. "But what saith it? The word is nigh even unto thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach," the word of faith. "That is, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So here's what the Bible says, that if we're going to be saved and born again, we must come to God in faith, and we believe what the Bible says, that Jesus died on the cross, He shed His blood for us, and on the third day we believe in faith that God raised him from the dead. We believe in our heart and we make confession and we ask God to save us and we tell him, we believe, Lord, what you've told us. I believe everything you say. And by believing and making confession, the Bible says that you are born again. God will wash your sins away and make you a brand new person. Psalm 51:2 says this, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Psalm 51:1, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Only one thing can wash you from your sins, and that's the blood of Jesus. And I love this next verse, Isaiah 1:17. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know, I feel like the Lord's talking to me right there about my sin. My sin is red like crimson. That's how I feel like my sin is. It's scarlet, it's red, and it just stands out. Easy to see. And as bad as it is, and as wicked as my sins are, and as wicked as your sins are, as bad of things as you've done, the blood of Jesus can still wash that sin away. No matter how wicked you may be, the blood of Christ washes them all away and makes you clean like nothing else can do. It's the blood of Jesus. And that is how a person comes to God by faith. They have to believe, and by faith, we are made righteous before God. That's what Abel did. He believed, and his sacrifice was accepted. Cain did not believe, and he was rejected. But I want you to know, secondly, this morning, and boy, I love this, is the witness that God gave. Is the witness that God made you. Look in verse 4. Go back here to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now listen to the next part. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Do you know that God will always answer true faith? When you come to God in faith, He's going to answer that faith. You know, Abel didn't have to wonder if he was right with God. He didn't have to worry if God had accepted him. When he came to the Lord by faith, God let him know that he was one of his. He let him know he was forgiven and he was made clean. He was made righteous, the Bible says. He was declared righteous. God made this testimony and declared it. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. Let's turn there together real quick. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. Now to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You see, Cain worked, but he didn't believe. Abel, he believed. He had faith, and his sacrifice was that he believed God, and because of that, it was counted unto him for righteousness. And this is the great thing, this is the justification that the Lord does to all of us. When you come to Christ, and you kneel down and you ask God to forgive your sins and to save you, and you put your faith in Jesus, let me show you what God does. He takes all your sin, and he puts it back on the cross, on Jesus. And Jesus pays for all your sin. And then he takes all the righteousness of Christ, all the goodness of Christ, and he puts that on you. He justifies you and makes it where that when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. And when he looks back at Christ, he sees all of your sin. That's justification. And when you have faith, that's something God does. He makes us righteous. He makes us just in his eyes. It's not that I'm just. You know me. I'm a wicked, evil, wicked sinner. There's nothing good about me. But boy, there's everything good about Jesus. And because of my faith, God has made me righteous in his eyes. And that's what he did for Abel. Abel was a wicked sinner like everyone else. But he had faith. And God made him righteous. And now he's in good standing. And that's what it's talking about. Abel is in good standing with God. He's been made righteous. He doesn't owe anything on his account. He's been made pure. You know, another verse, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Okay, he forgives all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Do you know what talking about here, having a list of sins written down? I feel sorry for whatever angel had to write my sins down. Because that angel had to have carpal tunnel syndrome, I guarantee it. But it's all written down. And I hate to be the angel that had to carry that note. All the things written on it. But when I got saved, God took that note off me. And he put it on the cross. And he forgave all my sins. Just like he forgives all your sins. I'm going to tell you something, church. You don't have a very good preacher. I know that. But I tell you, it ought to make you happy. It ought to make you want to cry and think about all your sins are forgiven before God. And you're made clean. There's where joy is all about. That we've been made clean. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. How does God let us know that we're His? How do we know that we're saved? Romans 8, 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God sends us His Holy Spirit. And when you get saved, God's Spirit lets you know that you belong to Him. If you're not sure whether or not you're saved, and you doubt, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. That's something you need to take care of. You need to get that settled. If you worry about going to hell, and you're worried about being saved, you want to serve the Lord, but you're not sure, you got to get this settled. Because you can't do anything for God if you're worried about whether or not you're going to heaven or not. You have to get that settled. Now, I believe every one of us in this room go through seasons of doubt. You're going to go through times where you doubt and you have a little struggle there. But I'm going to tell you, if you are struggling with this and you can't get past it, you need to get this settled. You need to make sure that you're born again, that you've made everything right, that you're saved. It is the greatest blessing this world has to offer is knowing that you are right with God and your sins are washed away. Now, I want to finish up this morning with this. As wonderful as true faith is, and as glorious as it is to have all your sins forgiven, and to know that I am ready to die, that if I died right now, I would go to heaven because God has made me clean. All true faith will be hated by this world. It'll be hated by this world. This world hates true faith. This world wants to work for its salvation. It doesn't want to just believe. It wants to earn it. And Cain was rejected because he wanted to earn his faith. He wanted to earn his salvation, and that's why the Lord rejected him. When I go back here to Genesis chapter 4, listen to what it says here in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Here the Lord talked with Cain and told him, yeah, you did wrong, but you can do better. You can do the right thing. Repent. Bring the right sacrifice, and you'll be accepted. Come by faith like your brother. But that's not what Cain did. In fact, we get to verse 8, the Bible says, Cain talked with his brother, with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. You know what's interesting to me, and it's hard for me to understand, is Cain would not kill a lamb, but he would butcher his own brother. He would not shed the blood of an innocent lamb, but he would cut up and slaughter his own brother. You know, when you go into 1 John chapter 3, 1 John talks about Cain a little bit. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11. The Bible says this. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Though the Bible gives us a little insight to Cain's mind. Why did Cain hate his brother so much? Because Cain had faith, and he was right with God. I mean, Abel was. Cain wasn't. Cain was full of sin. So he slew his own brother. And notice, what does the Bible say? Who was the father of Cain in verse 12? Spiritually speaking, that wicked one. He was never born of God. He was lost. He was of that wicked one. The devil was his father. Ye are of your father, the devil. That's who he was. Cain was a very, very wicked man. And he had his own brother slain. So here's what the scriptures show us. For any of us to be pleasing to God and to serve the Lord, we have to do it His way. And the only way we can approach God is through His Son Jesus, through the blood. And I want to encourage you today, if you're not sure that you're saved and you're not got it nailed down that you've been born again, well, I want to speak to you this morning. I want to take a moment and just really encourage you. If you're struggling with that, you need to get that settled. You need to get that settled because the devil will hold that on you forever. And you'll never get through anything for God because you're always worried whether or not you're going to heaven. Listen, it's hard to tell others about Jesus. And you're not even sure if you're going to heaven yourself. I've been there. That's a hard thing to do. It's hard to be a witness and do right when you're not even sure if you're saved. So I want to encourage you, if you're struggling with that, I want you to know God doesn't want you to struggle. God wants you to have peace in this matter. He wants you to know that you're saved. And if you're not sure, I want to talk to you today. I want you to get this settled in your heart. If you've never fully forgiven, you know, what does the Bible say? You go to the Lord in faith and you pray and you ask the Lord to save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You seek God and you're going to find Him. I believe that with all my heart. Let's all stand together.